So turn with me, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 1, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, and be our teacher, our guide tonight as we go into your word, searching for truth, searching for hope, searching, oh God, for the eternal blessedness that is found in your word. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. Settle things around us. As we seek your face tonight, as we study your word, that as we go to prayer, settle things around us that we can press in on behalf of the nations, oh God, most especially in this hour. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and holy name, amen. So John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word beginning is arche, and it's the origin of all things. In the beginning, at the place where the origin of all things, the origin of all things, the origin of you, of me, of where we are today, was in the beginning. When God formed the earth, when he created and planted the garden, when he formed man with his hands, and then breathed life into his nostrils, and when he took Adam and he placed him in the garden, he knew you would be here today. He knew where every person that exists on this earth today would live. He knew how they would get to the country that they live in. He knew how they would get to and how they would be born to the parents that they would be born to. He knew if the father would be present or not. He knew if that child would be adopted and who would actually be the birth mother and who would be the parents who raised that child. He knew. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, at the origin of all things, was not only God, but the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. He is the Word. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. And he was there when Adam was formed. He was there when God breathed his breath of life into Adam. Luke 3:38, I believe it is, says that Adam was the Son of God. Jesus was there when the garden was created and Adam was placed in the garden. He was there. He's been there from the beginning of time when God came into the garden in the cool of the day and he walked and he talked with Adam and Eve. The Word was there. Adam was placed in the garden for what? Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, and he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So Adam was put into the garden to dress and to keep it. That word dress is abad, to work, to serve. That word keep is shamar, meaning to protect it, to guard it. God took Adam, he placed him in the garden, a place that he had gone through meticulously the process of creating a perfect place for Adam to dwell. He was to protect the sanctity of that garden. He was to protect and guard it with all that he had. He was to work the garden. Now, everything was there. It was lush. It was beautiful. The only thing that he was not to do was to eat of the tree. But Adam did not need to eat. What was placed in the garden for Adam was for his pleasure. But his sustenance came from his time fellowshipping with his Creator. His time with his Father. Adam and Eve were clothed, put in the garden, and they were not clothed. The Bible says that they were naked, but they were not ashamed. Why is that? Because they were clothed with the glory of God. And he covered them. There was purity in the garden. There was holiness in the garden. The very reason for their existence was to know their Creator more. Can you imagine for a moment, go with me to the garden? Everything that you need to live and breathe, everything that you need to exist, is at your fingertips. In fact, your very existence is to know your Creator. That's your purpose, your destiny. And to protect the environment that allows you to know him. To protect the environment that allows you to know him. That allows you to fellowship with him. That allows you to enter into oneness with him. That allows you to go higher and higher and higher into the kingdom of heaven, where you can be so immersed in your Creator that all that matters is the next moment that you can spend with him, that you can worship him, that you can give glory to him, that you can know him. Every moment that you have, every breath that you take is to achieve greater intimacy with your Creator. When you walk in the garden, every step you take is to draw you deeper and deeper into his presence. When you awake in the morning, you cannot wait until the cool of the day when he will come and enrapture you in his presence and reveal to you who he is in greater measure. Every breath you take is to breathe in the breath he breathes out. Your purpose, your destiny is to be in him. That is the reason that we live. To know him. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not. In the cool of the day, God came and fellowshipped with him in such a manner that that last day came, and he said, let's just go on home. I don't want to part with you, Enoch. Come and be in me. When we're in worship, when we're in prayer, and that time with him takes us to such a level that we feel like we could launch right off this planet and into heaven. That is the place that our Creator wants us to live in. That's the place he longs for with us. When Adam sinned, and I shared this last week, when Adam sinned, it was at that moment that the Word, Jesus, the one who was there at the origin of all things, looked through history. He looked through the next several thousand years. At everything that man would go through. He looked through the lineage through which he himself, born as a man, would come. He looked through the lineage that his ancestors would travel through, the suffering because of the rebellion to God, the times of great immersion in Him. Like at Mount Sinai. Oh, Abraham, he was a friend of God. David, the worshiper. Solomon, the one whose wisdom was at such heights, he could hear and understand the braying of donkeys and the tweet and the flutterings of the birds. He understood creation and could pour that understanding out unto all who came to listen. He looked through the path that those kings would take as they stumbled and fell. And he looked through the many times that the enemy would try to destroy the lineage of David so that he himself would not be able to be born. He looked through the tragedy that would take place under Herod when he was just a baby, and the great loss of life. That would encircle his birth. He looked through the persecution that he himself would go through. He looked through and saw the flogging he would endure. He saw his time on the cross. He saw all of it. And the most difficult part was the separation he would feel for the first time in all of eternity from God. And he said, I'll go. I'll go. And I will bring them back. It was his mission in life, paving the way for our return to that place where we can come and be in him. Where we can know our Creator. Where we could walk with God as Abraham did, as Moses did. Where we could have the fellowship, the worship, all of it, including the fellowship of his sufferings. But in order for us to get to the place where we can come and be in him, we have to know him. We have to do what Adam was supposed to do, protect and guard the garden that God has created for us. We have to protect and guard, keep it as a warrior, that place that God has created for us to fellowship with him in the cool of the day, where we let nothing in that would taint or corrupt that precious time with him. That time where we study his word and his word becomes alive, filling us up, with him. There is in the second century, there was a group of 10 rabbis who were martyred by the Romans. And the Romans would find the most brutal way to murder those this one in particular, Hananiah ben Tiridian. He was wrapped in the scroll. See, they had banned them from teaching the Torah. because even the Romans knew the strength found when one understood the Word of God. And they had to destroy all that was beautiful to them, all that mattered, that which they lived and breathed for. They had to bring that to an end. So they banned them from teaching. Yet they did not stop. Hananiah, for his death, they chose to wrap him in a scroll. They put sponges on his chest to delay his demise and increase his suffering. And then they set him on fire. And as the flames consumed the scroll and began to burn his flesh, his students asked him, "Rabbi, what do you see?" And he said, "The parchments are consumed, yet the letters, they fly up to heaven." He saw the letters of the scroll, the words of God, as they returned to him, the giver of the word. The word is life. The word has life. Our responsibility is to protect the Word, to consume the Word, to know the Word. Our inheritance is the Word. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3, this is our inheritance, part of the Word. It's our inheritance. He is the Word, and He is our inheritance. Our destiny, remember. Our destiny, our very purpose, is fellowship with our Creator and to protect and guard that which He gives us, the place He's prepared for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, that we should be to the praise of his glory. We have been predestinated to be to the praise of his glory in him. Do you know that "in" is a key word in this phrase? In just these few verses, we find the word in 17 times. In 11 verses, the word in is 17 times. That word means in the realm of, in the sphere of. It's the condition in which something operates from the inside. So if you reread this passage and you say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It's in the realm of, in the sphere of. It's the place from which it operates. Where? From heavenly places in Christ. Do you realize that everything that we do originates, it is to originate in Christ? And if we lived our lives by the precept that the reason we were created was to worship Him, to serve Him, to guard that which He has entrusted us, and that we live our life in Him, through Him, by Him, and that we do this from the realm of, we operate from the inside, from Him, how we would live our lives, how differently we would live our lives. Would we look at the possibility of martyrdom with joy or fear? Would we look at it like this rabbi who was wrapped up in the Torah? And as it burned, and as his flesh burned, he saw the word, the letters of the Torah, spinning around him and floating up to the place of their origin, heaven. Where the enemy, while he may try to consume our flesh, while he may try to stomp and end who we are, he cannot end our life in Christ, because we operate from within Christ. He said, come be in me. We accept Him into our heart, and I remember as a little girl accepting Him into my heart. Come, Jesus, come and live in my heart. I led my children to the Lord. They said, Jesus, come and live in my heart. Where does Jesus live? Right here, and they point to their little hearts. Jesus lives in my heart. But the reality of it is, we go from that point where He lives in our heart to where we live in Him, totally immersed in Him, to where regardless of what tomorrow holds, all that matters is that we are in Him. We are chosen by Him to have our origin, our starting point, and to recognize our starting point was in Him. Death cannot have a hold on us when we recognize that our beginning and our end is in Him. That the reality of life on this earth is so temporal in the picture of eternity. That nothing that we see here that has no eternal value really matters. How differently would we live our lives recognizing that, acknowledging that, embracing that reality? How differently we would plan out our day if we knew and understood what really mattered was the eternal seeds that we sow. Do we live and breathe for our Creator, that we might be clothed with His glory and enter into Him? Do we walk fearlessly in the darkness, knowing that we are called there by Him, for Him, to release eternal hope into all we meet? Have we come to understand what's really important is guarding and protecting the place that God has called us to? I gave a message to our Joel's Army people several months back, and it was entitled The Destiny of the Intercessor. The Destiny of the Intercessor. What is our destiny? It's to pray the heart of God. It is to weep when He calls us to weep. It's to war when He calls us to war. It's to worship when He calls us to worship. But in the midst of it is all, it is to pursue Him with all that we have. We pray from that which we know, that which we've learned, that which we've come to understand about Him. When we know Him, we can truly grab hold of the Lord's Prayer and pray according to His will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we pray that way? Do we pray for His heavenly will to be done here on earth? Because He is the origin of all things. He is the reason we live and breathe. And our prayers must be for His heavenly will to be done in this earth. When God calls us to prayer, we go to prayer. Part of our reason in this ministry, part of our purpose in the Gathering of the Eagles, which Mom so beautifully relayed last week, and it's up on our website, the call of the Gathering of the Eagles, and the whole process He took her through, is identificational repentance for nations, that we might rest the nation from the hands of the elite and prepare it for His glory. The call of the intercessor, most especially in this hour, most especially in this hour, is to prepare a place for his glory to come. God will not dwell in our midst when we are so wrapped up in sin. He is a holy God. But we bring the sacrifice of praise into his house. We fill the bowls of heaven with our tears. And we pave the way for him to come and visit our nations, that the lost might be saved. During President Trump's first term in office, the enemy stirred up so much strife among everyone, really, except for those who were pursuing God's heavenly will here on earth. Those that rose up against him, those that even prayed against him, or those that sat and got fat and happy on the prosperity that he brought forth, stumbled in the midst of that time in office. But those who continued to press in, who continued to repent, who continued to seek his face, stayed steadfast in the midst of one of the greatest shakings our nation has seen, in my lifetime anyway. That's the destiny of the intercessor. All we care about is releasing his will here on this earth. His will here in our nation. The next little while is not going to be too easy. But for those that are seeking his face, our hope, our anchor is found in him. We operate from the inside. We operate from within him. So what we see taking place around us doesn't unseat us. It doesn't uproot us. Because our hope, our foundation, the place where we live and breathe, is from within him. I encourage you. To seek his face. Early in the morning, David said, will I rise up and seek you? Early in the morning. I encourage you to press in and let your stability, your hope, your foundation be in him and him alone. Because truly, your destiny is to be anchored in him. The one from whom you originally came. Let us pursue that.